Sinn Féin's MLA Alex Maskey has been criticised for describing Northern Ireland as a putrid little statelet. Mr Maskey tweeted, "Unfortunately, it took more than the Civil Rights Association to secure rights in the putrid little statelet Northern Ireland." The comments were posted in response to a tweet from the SDLP leader, Colm Eastwood, who was commenting on the 100th anniversary of women's voting rights. Mr Eastwood is with us now. Colm, good morning.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What's your reaction to this?
Well, I think people are missing the point. Yes, of course, Northern Ireland was a sectarian state with a sectarian government. There was systematic discrimination. But then people rose up in peaceful protest, people from all sorts of backgrounds. They formed the Civil Rights Association and changed much of that. And they did it without firing a shot. Now, what Alex is trying to say in his tweet, and you know, you'd think Alex would have more to do than constantly tweeting about the SDLP in particular. But what Alex is trying to say in his tweet is that it wasn't the civil rights movement that changed anything here. It took the IRA. That is what he's implying.
That's the inference you're drawing from it.
Well, I'd like to know what he is saying, because who else was it that changed the face of Northern Ireland at that time? And he also forgets that we had a 30-year campaign by the IRA, which all it did was fill graves and prisons. It didn't achieve what was achieved in 1998, nor did it achieve what was achieved in 1973 with the Sunningdale Agreement, where people here, for the first time, had opportunity to have power and share power in Northern Ireland. And we had a thing called the Council of Ireland, which was the strongest Irish dimension that we have ever had. And of course, what happened? Extreme unionism, called the Ulster Worker Strike, and the IRA upped their bombing campaign. So there we had an opportunity for people to grasp power, to take power, to share power, and finally right all the wrongs that Alex was concerned about, and the IRA upped their bombing campaign. So there's an effort at the moment by people within Sinn Féin to rewrite history.
And well, Alex,
that the IRA were some kind of a successful organisation that inspired the civil rights movement, and it's all utter nonsense. And I think it's important that we get the historical context right. But what is more important today of all days is that Alex and myself and other people focus our energies in having a government who can actually bring about some of the other changes that we have to see.
Well, Alex Maskey has said the following: "Full outrage by some unionists at my comments ignore the facts that a wide range of people from the Civil Rights Association right through to progressive unionists opposed sectarian discrimination and demanded civil and human rights for all."
Yes, but he is ignoring... You see, this is the problem with this debate. This debate has gone on to the issue of whether it was a putrid state or sectarian state. That is not the point. I absolutely think it was a sectarian state, and it had to be challenged, and there had to be massive upheaval and change, and that happened because of the civil rights movement.
Was it a putrid state?
I don't use that kind of language. What Alex has done, though, in his statement, is ignore the fact that what he was really getting at, because he was getting at me, was that it wasn't the civil rights movement that changed anything. In fact, it needed the IRA. That was what he was getting at.
Well, he did not say that.
Well, I think that's not what
he said.
You should ask him.
Sinn Féin don't have anybody available this morning to come on and speak about it.
They never seem to do anymore. But that's what he was getting at. In my strong view, I don't know why he would have done it otherwise. And I think that just needs to be challenged. There's an attempt now to rewrite history. There's an attempt to change the narrative, to pretend that the IRA were some sort of successful organisation that changed the face of this place. It is utter nonsense. By 1973, we had an opportunity to change this place.
Well, if you think, Colm, how some people felt how oppressive the state was back then, was the Civil Rights Association enough?
Well, if you look at what they achieved, they set up to change to make sure everybody had the right to vote and everybody had the equal right to vote. They set up to change the housing system. They set up to get rid of the B special. They did all of those things within a few months. That's what the Civil Rights Association achieved. Yes, of course, this was a state that needed completely change. It needed fair employment legislation, which, of course, then was done by people like Seamus Mallon and Eddie McGrady in the House of Parliament. All of these things were done by politics, and the power of politics and democracy is what changed
the power. Well, let's talk about the power of politics now. You're, of course, the leader of your party. Any progress in the talks?
Well, you need to ask the people who are locked in a room. I spoke to the secretary.
Well, your party's in there.
No, we're not. And let's not pretend that there is an all-party inclusive talks process. There was an all-party meeting. That's a very, very different thing. I have been calling for months, as you know, for a proper all-party talks process where we can all have access to papers, because a lot of people are often fond of talking about their mandate. Well, we have a mandate too, and we have a right to be in there. But more importantly, it isn't about us. It's about trying to find an agreement and a deal to allow our public services to work, to allow us to achieve things like marriage equality, to achieve an Irish language act, to get on with the job of governing.
So at this meeting...
That has failed.
At this meeting, Colm, that the SDLP attended, was there any progress in that meeting?
Well, what that meeting was, and it is like every other meeting that there has been, was an update from the parties and the governments, but it wasn't an update at all. They brought us all in to tell us that there was progress and they should trust us and to let them get on with it. Now, if there is real progress, I'm delighted. I want to help that progress. I want to be constructive. But it is very, very hard for us and more importantly for the public to see the same old bland statements coming out from all of those people over and over and over again. It is a year since we've had a government here. It is a year, almost a year, since we achieved an election result that people need to understand was very, very significant. For the first time, there is no unionist majority. There is no nationalist majority. No side has a majority in the Assembly. That Assembly can't even meet. You can imagine what we could achieve, what kind of progressive outcomes we could achieve in that kind of
Assembly. I was pushing one of your colleagues in your party yesterday on this. They were telling me that they're not even being told what's happening in the meetings, and there's not much productive happening within them. Are you going to continue? Are you going to continue going to meetings where you're not told what they're about?
But just to be clear, Stephen, there is no negotiations in those meetings. It's just not. It isn't the case. There are no discussions about substantive issues. We would love there to be, and I think there has to be a backstop here. I've told the two governments they should stop covering for these parties, and if they cannot get their act together very, very soon, they should publish their best guess at a deal. In fact, I told them to do that in October. But to your question, I have told the Secretary of State yesterday, I think they're all fairly clear about my position by now, to stop bringing us to meetings to tell us nothing, because we won't go.
Well, but that's simply not true, because you do go and are
going. No, sorry, Stephen. There has been one all-party plenary discussion which happened on Monday. There hasn't been one in months. Do we have bilaterals with people? Do we speak to the government? Yes, of course we do. Will we continue to do that? Yes, of course we will. But if people are going to pretend that there's an all-party inclusive talks process when there isn't, well, you know, our patience has run out with that.
Okay, so have you told the Secretary of State that unless that you're going to be briefed on the negotiations, you're not going to the next meeting? Is that where this is at?
What I've told her is we'll be there on Thursday, and if it's the same meeting as Monday, don't call us again until you have something to report or until you want to have a proper talks process. I don't think we can be any clearer than that. We're not trying...
How did she reply?
I think she understands my frustration. I have made it very clear
to
her a number of times. Well, she said she understood that position. But what we... I'm not trying... I have no interest in being disruptive. I have no interest in making it difficult for people. What I have said all along is that what we want to do is to help people get to a point of compromise, because we understand, as we should all understand, that this place only works when we compromise and we work together in the spirit of partnership and cooperation, much like the Civil Rights Movement, much like the Sunningdale Agreement, and of course like the Good Friday Agreement. Okay. People have to understand that that's what we have to get back to, because if we don't, we're leaving this to the British government and the DUP to run Northern Ireland.
So it sounds like you're about to pull out of what is being described as an all-inclusive process.
Well, Stephen, I know you want to create a big headline about us pulling it. We're not interested in big headlines or pulling
it. Well, you're either going to continue to go or not.
Well, what I'm telling you is I want this process to either be successful or to change. And I think everybody recognises that has to happen. Everybody recognises we're running out of time, especially those people who are crying out for hospital appointments, for something to be done about this economy, for marriage equality rights, for Irish Language Act rights. None of those things will be achieved if we continue to make ourselves powerless. What the Civil Rights Movement did, what the Good Friday Agreement did, was to allow us to be powerful again, to allow us to have access to power. What this is doing is denying us that power. That's a crazy strategy for anyone to adopt.